Good morning. Welcome to Park Street Brethren Church. Merry Christmas. Thanks for being with us here this morning as we are a little bit crazy. It's a beautiful thing for us to be together. I've been fascinated recently by a Norwegian explorer named Erling Kage. He was the first person to ever trek through the North Pole, the South Pole, and Mount Everest by himself. That wasn't all like one long weekend. Those were separate things he did. And he writes pretty extensively about the silence that he experienced crossing Antarctica and how it was oppressively monotonous and just being in the white snow day after day. And he just had a sled. It was just him by himself with all of his gear and supplies and food that he would need for that extended journey, and he would just drag it behind him as he crossed a barren wasteland. He tells a story of there being a scientific research base that, of course, the United States has at the bottom of the earth, and that different scientists would spend different amounts of times there throughout the year collecting data about snow. I don't know what they're doing down there. And that one year during Christmas, it so happened that 99 scientists were all there together. And as a present, someone smuggled down, apparently you're not supposed to do this, but just gave each person there a single stone. They brought 99 stones. And that gift that would seem probably pretty meaningless to most of us was a treasured thing for many of those who had been there for over a year, because the only thing that is in Antarctica is snow and man-made things. So just this simple idea of a rock had become precious to them because they hadn't been around earth, soil, stone in that amount of time. And this is clearly no scientific base, and you are not so impoverished that a stone would be a worthy gift for you probably this Christmas. But I'm willing to bet that many of us have spent the year dragging something behind us, right? We've been walking through the monotony of day-to-day life. And this morning, I want us to paint a picture of coming into a space that is warm and welcoming and receiving a precious gift. We've been going through a series on Advent in which we've talked about how each gospel speaks of the coming of the Lord Jesus. And if you think about them, they are concentric circles getting an ever wider perspective, right? The first, maybe closest view comes from the Gospel of Mark, who zooms right in and gets busy with the action, skipping over the birth narrative, even though he has an Advent story to share. You could go out one more ring to a wider view and read Matthew's gospel, who traces Jesus's genealogy all the way back to Abraham. You could zoom out another circle and see Luke's gospel, who traces that same genealogy all the way back to Adam himself, as well as providing us a lot more details about the events leading up to Christ's birth. And then there's John, right, who zooms out even wider and takes us back to before humans were alive on planet Earth, before Earth was created, in fact. His gospel starts at the very beginning of all things. I'd like to read the first verses of the Gospel of John this morning as we center our hearts and minds on the good news of today. John 1, verses 1 through 18. Here's the word of God for the people of God this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that's been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father and has made him known." Let's pray together this morning. May your word go out like a light, revealing the truth of your love and grace. We pray, Lord Jesus, in your name this morning, and all God's people said, amen. I was praying a lot and asking the Lord, like, what do you share, you know, on Christmas Eve? And he brought me to one of my favorite poems. He's by a modern poet named Billy Collins. I want to read that to you this morning. This poem's called The Lanyard. The other day, I was ricocheting slowly off the pale blue walls of this room, moving as if underwater from typewriter to piano, from bookshelf to an envelope lying on the floor, when I found myself in the L section of the dictionary, where my eyes fell upon the word lanyard. No cookie nibbled by a French novelist could send one into a past more suddenly, a past where I sat at a workbench at a camp by a deep Adirondack lake, learning how to braid long, thin plastic strips into a lanyard, a gift from my mother. I have never seen anyone use a lanyard, or wear one, if that's what you did with them, but that did not keep me from crossing strand over strand again and again until I had made a boxy red and white lanyard for my mother. She gave me life and milk from her breasts, and I gave her a lanyard. She nursed me in many a sick room, lifted spoons of medicine to my lips, laid cold face cloths on my forehead, and then led me out into the airy light and taught me how to walk and swim, and I, in turn, presented her with a lanyard. "Here are 1,000 meals," she said, "and here is clothing and a good education, and here is your lanyard," I replied, which I made with a little help from a counselor. "Here is a breathing body and a beating heart, 2 strong legs, bone and teeth, and 2 clear eyes to read the world," she whispered. "And here," I said, "is the lanyard I made at camp. And here, I wish to say to her now, is a smaller gift, not the archaic truth that you can never repay your mother, but the rueful admission that when she took that 2-tone lanyard from my hand, I was as sure as a boy could be that this useless, worthless thing that I made out of boredom would be enough to make us even." Do you like that? I like that. I like it especially around Christmas time because we're obsessed with the giving and the receiving of gifts, are we not? We can't have Christmas without this thing, and we understand it's about the celebration of the coming of Christ, who is the great gift to us all. But it starts to ask the question: what do we give to the Lord? Like Billy Collins explores in his poem, you know, what could we possibly do to repay the one who gave us life. Because, in fact, we couldn't. There's a lot of interesting things going on in the world right now. One of them is the internet and technology and how it's changed our world. And I was interested to find out that one of the highest viewed YouTube channels this past year in the United States was a channel run by a 6-year-old boy named Ryan. And the channel is called Ryan's Toy Review. And he uploads a video every single day of him opening a new toy. He has 10 million followers on YouTube. And this year, because of this, he made $11 million through that enterprise. What do you get that kid for Christmas? What do you get that kid for Christmas? When we think of the Lord, what do we get for the God who already has everything, right? What do you get for the Lord who created everything, who sustains everything? The gospel we read this morning said the light of the world came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. How do we see this great light? I was reflecting on the fact that this infant king that came in the most humble of circumstances was the father of a trillion universes, you know, stars beyond counting. His brightness, his holiness is probably unapproachable, and yet he came to the world. You may have heard of Jim Lovell, the commander of the Apollo 13 mission, who uttered probably the most famous line in all of aeronautical history, "Houston, we have a problem," right? When they had an engine failure on their trip to the moon. That was not the first time he was in a difficult situation. In the 1950s, he was a pilot for the Navy, and he was flying off the coast of Japan. And a faulty mechanism in his plane mistakenly led him away from his rendezvous point, taking him miles and miles away from his aircraft carrier without a way to locate it. He was starting to scramble, and the gas on his plane was starting to decrease. And so he tried to turn on the light in his cockpit to orient himself, and that caused there to be an electrical short that resulted in all the lights on his entire plane going out. He couldn't read any of his instruments. He couldn't see anything. That, if you're wondering, is the time to start panicking. He actually didn't. He just stayed circling where he was and breathing. I suppose that's all you can do when you're plunged into darkness. And when his eyes finally adjusted to the dark, he was able to see something he wouldn't have otherwise been able to see, which was there was a bioluminescent trail of phosphorescent algae that the aircraft carrier had stirred up. And he followed this faint green light of algae back to where he was supposed to be. And I love this as an analogy for the coming of Jesus Christ, who could have come in such blinding, overwhelming light, but instead chose to come to the darkness in a milder, softer, easier, get it, girl, light that we could see. He came as an infant to lead us forward. How do we respond to this great light? How do we rejoice? How do we give back to God? I think the answer is one that you all know, and it's by loving one another with the same light that he loved us with. I have to tell you, as a dad of 3 rambunctious youngsters, there are times when they are overwhelming, clearly. But last night, because we decided we had to look good this morning, we put all 3 of them in the bathtub, right? And after a few moments, chaos erupted, right? And there was fighting, the wailing, and the gnashing of teeth. But for a few moments, They were just there laughing and playing. And as a father, that's basically all I want. Just for them to be together, rejoicing, delighting in one another and in the gift that we have as a family. My prayer for us this Christmas is that we would simply receive this precious gift of Christ with all of the reverence and reflection that it's owed, right? This amazing gift of the light of the world, who dimmed himself down enough so that we could perceive him, has come. And I pray that each and every one of us would find ourselves leaving the frozen tundra of our day-to-day lives and coming into the warm sanctuary of Christ's presence, allowing that to fuel us to be light and love to others as well. Let's pray together this morning. Jesus, we give you glory for your goodness, praise for your presence, and thankfulness for the gift of your Son. Lord, you existed before everything. You created all, you sustain all, and yet we keep trying to wrap our minds around this incredible mystery of the fact that you came to earth, descended, and revealed yourself to broken sinners who were lost in the dark. We pray that as we continue to sing and praise your name and fellowship with one another and reflect on your word, Lord, that we would not miss the wonderful gift of you, that we would not miss your beauty and the amazing story that's unfolding as we reflect on your coming. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you are and all that you do. Continue to be here as we praise your name. We pray in God's name and God's people said, amen.
Would you stand and sing with us again?
Many things to be thankful for the parents of all the little ones. We're thankful we normally have childcare during Sunday mornings. I pray that you receive every gift with gratitude. Let's receive this benediction this morning. May the light of the world, Jesus Christ, give you the ability to see the amazing gifts all around you that he has blessed you with. And may the recognition that you can never repay him not prevent you from trying to honor him with every breath of your life. Go in the peace and the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this and say in Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace, church. We love you.